I'm going to take the opportunity today to take a look at one of the least studied stories in Sefer Bereishis by many, certainly at a younger age. In the middle of Parshat Vayeshev, Vayeshev is mostly about the story of Yosef. As the Parsha opens, Ela told us Yosef ben Shvayis Reishana. Right away, it told us Yaakov are the focus on Yosef and his brothers, and the interaction between his brothers. And in the first segment of the parasha, we see Yosef in Eretz Yisrael. The relationship between Yosef and the brothers goes south, and sours to the point they ultimately sell him down the river. The second segment dealing with Yosef is Yosef in Mitzrayim. Yosef who rad Mitzrayim, and we see he's bought by Potiphar, and what happens with the Nisayon he endures with Eshes Potiphar. He ends up in jail, and Vayeshev leaves us off at a difficult point, but there's a ray of hope because the Sar HaMashkim, the Sar HaOfen, he has the Sar HaMashkim leaving jail in a positive direction with Yosef in mind. But in between the two segments, the opening segment of Yosef in Eretz Canaan, the closing segment of Yosef in Eretz Mitzrayim, the Torah interposes a Revi, Parak Lamed Ches, the episode of Yehuda and Tamar. I want to take a look at a Ramban who's bothered by one particular question, one turn of phrase, but it really sort of opens up the whole story. The Torah says you have the Pesukim in front of you. So the Torah speaks about, this is after Mechiras Yosef, it sounds like, Yehuda steps away from his brothers. The Torah speaks about Yehuda's business, and the Torah speaks about Yehuda marrying. And he has a series of three sons, Er, Onan, and Shelah. Er marries a woman named Tamar. And Pasuk Zayin, Er Bechor Yehuda Rabbe, Nei Hashem Yimisei Hashem. Er passes away because of some unspecified chet. Some say based on Kamim Psukim, that it was the chet to repeat Hotzar Zerel Vatala. But what we know is that Er is out of the picture, and Yehuda says to Onan here in Pasuk Ches, Parak Lamed Ches, Pasuk Ches, Yom Yehuda Onan Bol Eishes Achich V'Abemosa, you need to marry Tamar, your brother Er's widow, perform Yibum Hakem Zara LaAchicha. Onan knows that this is not a good idea, or so he thinks. Lo Yiyah Hazara. Sounds like he's under the impression that if he marries Tamar and they have children, the children won't really be his, they'll really be his older brother Er's children. So, v'shiches arza, v'bilti nazon zera lachet. He refuses to impregnate his wife Tamar. Onan dies as well. Vayera ben Yashar Asher Asa, v'yamaskam, v'zakash Baruch Hu kills Onan as well. Now, two of Yehuda's sons have been struck by Misa Bidei Shamayim. At this point, Yehuda says to Tamar, Shvi amana beis avich ad yigdal shela b'ni. Yehuda tells Tamar, why don't you, it's going to be a while, Shelah, the third son, he's much younger, it's going to be a while till Shelah grows up, the implication being when Shelah is old enough, he'll perform Yibam as well. So he says to Tamar, why don't you move out of go back to your parental home. And the Pasuk explains that Yehuda is really worried, Ki amar penya muskam hu ke'achav. Yehuda is worried what the Gemara refers to in other contexts as a katlanis. Yehuda sees a pattern and confuses correlation with causation. He says, Er married Tamar and he died. Onan married Tamar and he died. So he's worried that perhaps there's a pattern, and perhaps if Shelah marries Tamar, he'll die as well. So Yehuda is trying to procrastinate. Tamar understands, and Tamar goes to highly unusual means to, if she can't have a child from Shelah, to have a child from Yehuda himself as well. Now the story ends with Yehuda's sterling honesty and being willing to openly reveal that he in fact is the father of Tamar's children, and those children turn out to be Yehuda's fourth and fifth sons, Peretz and Zerach, the twins, and Peretz ultimately becomes And as we learn further in the end of Megillas Rus, Peretz becomes the line that gives us Nachshon ben Aminadav, and ultimately gives us also Elisheva Bas Aminadav, who is the wife of Aaron and the mother of all Kohanim except for Aaron himself. And through Nachshon Aminadav, we ultimately reach Boaz, Rus, and David HaMelech. All the Malchut Beis David are descended from this episode, from Yehuda and Tamar. So the Ramban is troubled specifically, or the Ramban raises a number of questions. We're going to take a look specifically at his comments on Pasuk Ches. Yehuda turns to Onan after Yehuda's first son Er has passed away. You need to marry Tamar, you'll perform Yibum. So let's take a look at the Ramban. Ramban opens by quoting Rashi. What do you mean? Hakem zera l'achicha? You'll establish children for your brother. What do you mean? And that indeed seems like that's what Onan is worried about. I'm going to have children with Tamar. They won't really be my children. They really be Er's children. So what's this all about? So Rashi says, Haben yikarei al shem hames. The child sounds from Rashi that Yehuda was saying, you'll have to name your son Er. He tells Onan, marry Tamar, and the first boy you'll name him Er, you'll name him after your deceased brother. Ve'ein ze'em, says Ramban. That's not correct. How do I know? Ki b'mitzvos ha'Torah nemar gam kein yakum al shem achiv hames v'lo yimach shmo Yisrael. This is remarkably parallel language in Parshas Kitzetze. You'll notice the language Ramban uses ki b'mitzvos ha'Torah, in the mitzvahs of the Torah, meaning right now we're in an agadic part of Chumash. This is an episode, and specifically it's an episode that's kodem on Torah. But later, in the end of Chumash Devar, in Parshas Kisaitse, in a halachic section of Chumash, when the Torah speaks about the lachar matan Torah, the dinim of Yibum v'chalitza, the Torah says, a married man passes away, leaving behind a brother and a wife but no descendants. So there's a mitzvah of Yibum, the surviving brother marries a widow, and the children, yakum al shem achiv hames, will rise on the name of the deceased brother, the deceased first husband. His name won't be wiped out. So you have the same language there, very similar language to here. And the Ramban says, Ein ha-yavam mitzuva l'kro livno k'shem achiv ha-meis. There's no such din. In all of Maseches Yevamos, you don't find a din that in the aftermath of a Yibum, the first child has to be named for the deceased brother. Ein din kazeh. And Yamar Beboaz, in other words, what the Ramban is saying is, here it's hard to tell for sure. What would they have named if Onan would have had a child from Tamar? Would they have named him Er? It's hard to know for sure. But the parsha in Kisaitse is a din ladoros. So we have a whole Maseches Yevamos, and we don't find such a din. So presumably the language here corresponds to the language there. And then Ramban says, I have another proof that you do not name the first child of a Yibum for the deceased first husband. How do I know? It says, Amar Beboaz, the Gamas Rus HaMoavia, Eishas Machlon Kanisi Lili Isha, the same language, Lahakim Shem HaMeis HaNachal Aso, the same as Hakim Zera Lachicha. It's HaKamas Shem, the HaKamas Shem of the Nifter, V'lo Yikarei Shem HaMeis Mi'imechav, U'mishar Mekamo. The language is very explicit. His name, the name of the Nifter, will not be cut away. And there we know what they named. They did have a child. Boaz and Rus did have a son. And what was his name? Not Machlon. That's Tikreno Oso Oved. Lo Machlon. They didn't name him Machlon. They named him Oved. Does that mean that they abandoned the original plan of L'Hakim Shem Eis HaNachal Aso? They abandoned the original concern of V'lo Yikareis HaMeis Me'imechav? Absolutely not. Ramban says clearly, that's not what Hakem Zera L'Achicha means. It has nothing to do with what you name the first child. And the Ramban says there's more evidence. The Ode. Sha'amar Vayeda Onan Ki Lo Lo Yehazar. As we mentioned before, not only does Yehuda mention to Onan that you ought to be miyadim tamar and be making zera le'achicha, but Onan is perturbed by that. Vayeda Onan ki lolo yiazara. They won't be his children. Maharasha tavolav akihishcha zara mipaneh imyikra shem benok shem achiv ames. He was so perturbed at the notion that he's going to have to name the first son heir. Rov bnei adam misavim lasos kain. Most people who lose a relative, they have a burning desire to have a baby named for the deceased relative. It was so terrible. He couldn't eat. Maybe there was a very bad relationship between the brothers. He wasn't interested in naming fair. We don't really know. But Ad Kedei Kach, he refused to have children? That's hard to imagine. And then the Rabban says, B'mesek L'shono, with his golden eye for diukim, v'lo amar akos v'yomer onan, avlo amar v'yeda onan. It doesn't say he said, it says he knew. Ki lo lo yeh hazara. Now, you might say it's because that's what he was thinking about, but often the Tanakh will use vayomer to mean, like vayomer haman belibo, there it's explicit. It's explicitly referring to thought, and yet the pasuk used the word amira, vayomer haman belibo. So why didn't it say vayomer onan? Why is it vayeda onan? As though it's a yediyah berurah ha'islobos. He had total clarity. Clear knowledge, shelo yeh lo hazara. Knew for sure they're going to name the child. Something's off. So again, Rashi appears to say the Hakem Zera Lachicha has to do with let's have a baby whom we can name for heir. It feels very Hamish. Rabban says it's hard to believe that's what the pasuk means. Now one of the evidence both from Kisetze and from Rus that's not, that when we talk about Hakamas Shem, it's not about the actual name you give to the first baby. Number, and you see that from, again, from both Kisetze, from the Dinim of Yibum, and from the story, the episode of Rus and Boaz with their child named Obed not Machlon. Problem number two is why would this, what you're going to name the first child, have bothered Onan so severely that he refused to have any children with Tamar? And number three, why is it Vayeda Onan as opposed to Vayomer Onan? Rabban says, he uses a phrase that would, under most circumstances, be a full stop for us. In most circumstances, we would see Ha'inin Sod Gadol, and we would just say, okay, the rest of the Rabban is beyond us. But this is a Rabban that traditionally is learned. And again, the phrase with which Rabban introduces the answer, Aval Ha'inin God Sod Gadol, Misodos HaTorah, Betoldos HaAdam, this topic is actually a profound mystical secret in the secrets of Torah. So that tells us that we don't expect to fully be able to unpack all the ideas he's about to present, but we can at least get the contours of the idea. And he's not done with the introduction. The Nikar Hu Le'enei Ro'im, the following phenomenon is clear, it's self-evident to the eyes of those who see. Asher nasan lehem, he doesn't mean everyone who is literally sighted. Asher nasan lehem Hashem, einayim l'ra'os v'aznayim l'shma. Anyone for whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given eyes to see and ears to hear, he doesn't mean it literally. He obviously in context means those who have greater, deeper Kabbalistic insight, for them the following is self-evident. For the rest of us mere mortals, it's not self-evident. The Rabban will teach us some insight. This is an idea that the ancient Chacham, even before Matan Torah, were aware of the following metaphysical reality, which is Yesh To'elas Gedola B'Yibam Ha'ach. That when we talk about Yibam, as we mentioned, the Pasuk in Kisetze presents it as a halacha. That's a binding halacha. A man passes away, again leaving behind a widow and at least one brother, but no descendants. So the brother has a mitzvah, the brother has a chiyuv, or if there are multiple brothers, one of the brothers needs to marry the widow, and that's called yibum. That's how the Torah refers to it in Parashat Kisetze. The Torah also says, in a situation where for some reason the brother is not going to practice yibum, none of the brothers plan to practice yibum, so one of the brothers has to instead undergo the procedure of chalitza, which is, it's pretty clear from the Pesukim Kisetze, meant to be somewhat embarrassing for the brother who's refusing to practice Hebrew. So what's this all about? So he says, Yibum is a mitzvah, but even before Matan Torah, before it became a chiyuv, there was a metaphysical reality, there was a spiritual reality that Toel is gedolo b'yibum ha'ach. That in a situation where a man passes away without children, his neshama will somehow, you have to know more about Kabbalah to understand the spiritual mechanics, but his neshama is somehow greatly sustained, greatly helped, ilui neshama, through his brother performing yibum. The who, harav, but then the Rabban expands. Now the psukim in Kiseitze, when they mandate yibum, only speak about it in the context of a brother. The Rabban says, well, the metaphysical reality of yibum, who harav lios kodimbo, he's the most ideal, the optimal person to perform yibum in terms of the spiritual impact. The neshama nifter, the most effective yibum is yibum by the brother. But if there is no brother, there's still value, and this was known even kodem out in Torah to the great chachamim. There's still value in some other relative of the nifter marrying the almana. Ki kol she'ira karav love mishpachto asher hu yoreish nachala. Anyone who is in the bloodline, the patrilineal bloodline of Yerusha, Yagim Menotelis, is anyone who's in that line, anyone who is a blood relative in his mishpacha, that survivor marrying the widow will give some toelis, will give some spiritual comfort and accomplishment to the neshama nifter. V'hayu noagin kodem an Torah. The practice was Lisa Ishas Hameis Haach O Haav O Hakarv Min Hamishpacha. Who would perform yibum? Either the nifter's brother, or the nifter's father, or some other relative of the nifter. Ki kol sheira karv lo mishpachto. Yilo yadanu. Excuse me. Yilo yadanu haya minikadmon of Nei Yehudim. He says it's not clear from the psukim. Maybe this was even practiced before Yehudim. The Bereishis Rabba says that Yehuda began it. Yehuda his chil brachis rabbi, they say Yehuda his chil mitzvah yibum tchila, he was the first to practice it. Ki kasher kibul hasod me avosov, he learned this kabbalistic concept from the avos. They didn't have the opportunity to perform it. It came up in Yehuda's family. Niz dareiz la kimosa. Now, so the first movement of the Ramban is that yibum is more than just a chiyuv. Yibum is the chi of yibum reflects a certain metaphysical concept, a metaphysical reality of a way to provide spiritually for the neshama of the nifter. And step two, Rabban said, once you realize there's a metaphysical spiritual reality, it doesn't only apply to yibum by the brother. It could be, to a lesser extent, other relatives as well. Now, the problem with that is, but you look in Parshas Ki Seitze. Now, obviously, what Rabban is driving at is that Yehuda was performing some sort of yibum. And thinking about Ruas, Boaz, who was not a brother of Mahlon, was still performing some type of yibum. Now, the problem, of course, is that works well in Parshas Vayeshev and in Megillas Ruas, but how about Parshas Ki Seitze? When the Torah talks about the halachos of yibum, it's only the brother. So here the Rabban writes, he addresses it. Kashabasa ha Torah v'asur k'tzas ha-kirovim. He says, Koda Matan Torah, yibum could be done by the brother or else by the father, like Yehuda and Tamar. But the Torah, but by the time of Matan Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu greatly expanded the list of arayos, the list of forbidden relationships, particularly relations via marriage. So you can't marry the father-in-law, you can't marry the son-in-law, it says, etc., etc. It says a long list in Achrimos and Kedoshim. So Asra Eishas Ketzas Akrovim, the Torah forbade a number of relationships by marriage. So for the father to do Yibam, that's now an Isser Lachamat and Torah, that's an Isser of Kalasa. The truth is for the brother to do Yibam is also normally an Isser of Eishas Achiv. So Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lahatu Isha Eishas Ha'ach, Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to only make an exception for the brother. He says the Torah only made an exception. That's what the psukim say. Normally, Eishes Achiv is the Gilu Arayos, severe Isser Isser Kares, Yaharg Vayavar, but B'makam it says Yibum, Yibum is Doche, the Isser of Yibum puts aside the typical Isser of Eishes Achim, but Yibum does not put aside the others. Why? Number one, Kiba Achur Gal Hadavar, Karish Baruch Hu was Mata Eishes Achim because it's the most common scenario of Yibum, and number two, To'elas Kerova, it's the most impactful, spiritually impactful. Lo Bahem, Kamoshes Kai, as explained before, Rabban says, Ray explained, that the Yibum Ha'ach is the most spiritually effective. And he goes on to say, that's why, you even see in the Parsha Kisetze, that's why it's considered Achzarius Gedola Ba'ach, Kashal Yach Bos Yabein. That's why it's considered to be such a cruel act by a brother to refuse to perform Yibum, and if he indeed refuses, Korimos Obeis Chalutanal. He has to go through the process of Chalitza, which includes both behaviors and conversation that are meant to denigrate the brother for not taking care of the nifter's neshama. So that all fits into Rabban's approach, again, that Yibum is not only a mitzvah, it's a larger metaphysical reality. And fundamentally, it should apply to other relatives also. And until Matan Torah, it did apply even to the father, and that's why Yehuda performs Yibum. And finally, he goes on to say, looking at Rus is l'achar Matan Torah, centuries after Matan Torah. So they could no longer perform Yibum b'makam Isser. They were no longer allowed to have the father, for instance, perform Yibum. However, he says, they still held on to this when it's a distant enough relative that there's no arayos. So for instance, for a cousin to marry Eishes HaNifter, said that they held on to, the Vikaru Oso Geula, they called it Geula. The word Geula in Rus refers to this quasi-Yibum, not halachically required, but still spiritually effective. And he closes, V'zehu inin boaz v'tam Naomi v'ashchenos v'hamas v'yavin. This explains that pasuk at the end of the verse where they say, Yulad ben l'Naomi, how is it a child to Naomi? The answer is, and here we come full circle, it doesn't mean Hakem Zer Lachitha, you name the first son and give him the baby the name of the Nifta. No, they called him Machlon or not. Oved, but it's much more profound than that. The birth of Oved somehow spiritually impacted positively the Neshama of Machlon. And there's some spiritual connection far deeper than what the name is. And that's why we could say, in some sense, Yulad ben Naomi, this was, in a sense, a child descendant to Naomi because he's connected to the neshama of Mahlon ben Naomi. And this also, in closing, gives us a larger sense of this whole episode. Fundamentally, Yehuda would have openly, gladly consented to perform Yibum with Tamar, because this is called the Matan Torah, and that would have been Yibum Ayidei Avi HaMeis. The consideration wasn't it's inappropriate. Yehuda's hesitation for himself was the same as for his son, which was he was worried that Tamar is a Katwanis. He misunderstood, he thought that his two sons had died because of Tamar. They had died because of their own sins. But he thought some of them were dying because of Tamar. The Tamar understood what was going on, and rather than explain to Yehuda the chatam that his sons were involved with, she saw to it through unusual means, but Kodem Matan Torah appropriate means in context, to ensure that Yibum would occur, and in the large, to ensure the continuation of the line from Yehuda that would ultimately become, through Peretz, Malchus Beis David. Chevra, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a marvelous day.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.